So we're very happy that today His Holiness Gavi Chandra Maharaj has come with us. And that is our good fortune. Also, we have here Ayodhya Dev Prabhu from Canberra, Australia, one of the earlier devotees in the Australian Yatra. And so we're very happy to hear from everyone. And
so, Maharaj, what would you like me to do? If you would like me to sort of start off something?
Yeah, usually.
That's what I can.
Well, we have more than one mic, right?
Yeah.
So Maharaj always wants me to speak first. You can't hear. You really can't. No one can hear. Huh? Why? Yeah. I'll try and speak a little louder, but at the same time, if you can't hear, it's pretty much on maximum. Now, Maharaj, don't do that. He can get his ears cleaned. Or sit in the center if you can't hear.
No, if it was up high, then you could hear.
Yeah, but yes, last few days we could hear. Huh? Only today we cannot hear. Krishna, always some problem. Cannot hear. Whereas hearing is the essence. Sravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. It begins with hearing. And when hearing is not happening, then how can we expect that we'll be motivated to chant? There's a relationship, sravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. Sometimes the ninefold process of devotional service is explained to be each process is looked at separately, and it doesn't matter. Any of the nine one can engage in and make spiritual advancement. Other times the explanation is given how there is a progression from sravanam, from hearing, comes chanting. Because when we hear about Krishna and we begin to find out about devotional service, then we become inspired to chant. And as we are hearing and chanting, the natural comes smaranam, comes remembrance of Krishna. And as remembrance of Krishna comes, then also naturally comes a desire to serve Krishna, padasevanam. And when that desire develops, then naturally comes a desire to worship the deity, because one can directly render the service to the deity. And if one is rendering service to the deity, then naturally comes the inclination towards vandanam, to offering prayers. And in this way, it carries on, where we begin to serve Krishna in every possible way and get in that mood of servitorship, and then also appreciating how actually Krishna is our true friend. Once a devotee said, when Srila Prabhupada was explaining that Krishna is our real friend, then the devotee said, "No, Prabhupada, we think that you are our real friend." And then Prabhupada said, no, Krishna is your real friend. Because Krishna is omniscient. He knows everything. He said, we are not omniscient. He said, we may disappoint you, but Krishna never will. In the sense that Krishna knows everything, of course. We side with that devotee, that surely, by taking shelter of Prabhupada, we will never be disappointed. because he was so much aligned with Krishna. So this place where we are is known as Prem Sarovar. They really built a beautiful arrangement, beautiful ghats. So this is, like we discussed before, the work of the devotees. Prem Sarovar is a kund that, or a small lake that came about by a transcendental cause. And devotees have appreciated that for a long time. And in this way, they have made all these wonderful places in Vraj. The architecture here is from Rajasthan. You can see these little ksatris, these little roofs, like little on pillars. And that is a typical Rajasthan style of sandstone carving. And Rajasthan is traditionally a place filled with bhakti. It is the Rajasthan architecture that we see all over Vrindavan, and that creates that very nice mood, because it is an architecture of bhakti. It takes a lot of work to chisel all these decorations out of a stone. It's not quickly done. A lot is done by hand, and it's just, when we go to Jaipur, we see the same. We see in the architecture, we see bhakti, we see a spirit of devotion, because the culture is the culture of devotees of Krishna. So this is the place of where devotees of Krishna are glorifying Krishna, are hearing about Krishna, are chanting Krishna's name, and are remembering Krishna, his name, fame, form, pastimes. So it is said that here in this Prem Sarovar, what happened is that Radha and Krishna were performing pastimes here. They were meeting here in this area. And Madhu Mangal was present and others were present. And while Radha and Krishna were seated together, a large bumblebee came. And that bumblebee started to buzz around the divine couple and circumambulating, doing a parikrama, actually. But Radharani was sort of, well, as most of us would be, a bit disturbed when this big bee was just big one buzzing around. So when the bee came too close, she was with the headpiece of her cloth, trying to sort of chase it away, but that bee was far too ecstatic to respond to such a thing and kept on circumambulating. So then it is said that Madhu Mangal took action, and Madhu Mangal with a stick started to wave in all directions in such a wild way that bee retreated. And then subsequently Madhu Mangal came back like a great hero and said, "I got rid of this Madhusudan." Madhusudan is a name of Krishna, but Madhu also refers to a bee, and Madhusudan can be translated as killer of the demon Madhu. In the beginning, in the universal creation, there were two demons, Madhu and Kaitava, who stole the Vedic knowledge from Lord Brahma. And that, of course, caused some disturbance. So therefore, Madhu, the demon, was killed by Krishna, and who is then known as Madhusudan. But one can also say Madhusudan could also mean a killer bee, a very large killer bee. So when Madhumangal meant to say, I got rid of that killer bee, Madhusudan, but Srimati Radharani took it that I got rid of Madhusudan, of Krishna. So that was such a shock that immediately she became overwhelmed by strong feelings of separation. And as a result, tears were flowing from her eyes. And as a result, she just, she couldn't see Krishna. So many tears were flowing from her eyes that she really couldn't see Krishna, and therefore she was separated from Krishna. And subsequently, when Krishna saw that stream of tears, then he was himself shocked. He was shocked how deep that love was. And then tears flowed from his eyes as well. And the combination of all that created this pond. So that's why it is known as Prem Sarovar, the pond that came about from the tears of Radha and Krishna. However, the bee, at the same time, the bee was not just an ordinary bee. The bee certainly was a devotee. And why would he not be? After all, Krishna wears a yellow dhoti, just like the bees. And he has a blackish body, like the bees. And he's into music, just as they are. So, therefore, the bees are also relating to Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. And thus also worshipping him. So this king of the bees who had personally taken darshan of Radha and Krishna and really close up, and therefore he was very, very ecstatic and went to tell all the other bees about the amazing qualities of Krishna. So the story goes. So that is very... There are many interesting parts to it. First of all, we see that also animals are devotees and not just limited to human beings. And that is not imaginary. That is a fact. But it is difficult in the animal form to engage directly in devotional service. Generally, by some human arrangement, an animal gets an opportunity to render service. Like, for example, elephants that carry the deity, they can do personal service to the deity. And then it is a known fact that many of the elephants are becoming very, very attached, to the deities and to that service. Stories about some elephants who entered into the temple at the end of their life, just on their own, just walked in and then gave up their bodies in the temple. So something had been awoken. So we should not... Devotional service is natural to every living being, because it is the nature of the soul. And therefore, even within animals, it can be awoken to a degree. Although animals are strongly affected by the modes of ignorance, still something can be there in some animals. And in Vrindavan, certainly, the animals are also... have a lot of piety, somehow or other, in animal species, but yet in this holy dham. Sometimes in the kunds we are finding big turtles. In Radha Kund there are big turtles. Who are they? Who are they? What spirit souls are they that they can just bathe in Radha Kund continuously? All the time. just bathing in Radha Kunj. Imagine. So, somehow or other, when we are looking with Shastra Shakshus at this Dham, then we can see deeper than with the ordinary eye. When we're looking at the Dham just with our ordinary eyes, yes, we will see the beautiful staircases, we will see a pond, and we see parrots, and we see all these things, but what can we truly see? Therefore, because we don't have this vision of being able to look into the spiritual world directly, we are looking through the scriptures, Shastra Sakshus. And by looking through the scriptures, we can understand. By hearing from the acharyas, we can understand. Now, this place is a place which is dedicated to the topic of vipralamba, or love of God in the mood of separation. And no matter how much we discuss this topic of vipralamba, it remains a complicated thing. Because in the spiritual sense, separation is the deepest expression of love of God, and at the same time, the greatest experience of ecstasy. And in a material understanding, separation is just depression and misery. Right? Therefore, it remains difficult to properly comprehend it. It seems awkward. Right? It seems awkward. How can separation be so ecstatic? But it becomes so ecstatic because that separation then becomes the impetus to remembrance, to very intense and deep remembrance, to a level of depth that would not be experienced in an ordinary time. And then the hankering for Krishna is increasing so much. I think we'll experiencing it a little bit when we go back home. And when you sort of leave Vrindavan, you get on the plane and you just land on the other side and think, oh, and you were just in Vrindavan and go, what happened? I'm back in the everyday treadmill, in that gray and drab reality of like somehow or other scraping some money together and just doing your job. Or studying or whatever. So in this way we can experience a little bit. But of course when we're dealing with the great eternally liberated devotees, then we see that this separation awakens such deep emotions of remembrance. And in that way, as they're remembering Krishna, it's not just they're remembering Krishna, but it's totally ecstatic to remember Krishna. Thinking of Krishna gives great ecstasy. So just the remembrance alone of Krishna is actually a deep ecstatic experience, even if that remembrance is in separation. The acharyas have described this separation. And they have said that there are different types of separation. The first one is known as purva, or that is a feeling of separation that arises from a previous connection. When we had a previous connection with Krishna, or a previous connection with Vrindavan. Like now you're here at Prem Sarovar, and then somehow or other, someone gave me a nice picture of Prem Sarovar, which I used as a backdrop for a few months. And so for a few months, I was every day sort of doing a puja and looking at Prem Sarovar. exactly the same view that I'm having now. And it's sort of what to say. I had a desire to go to Prem Sarovar because of that connection. And I came here before. So in this way, we can feel separation from Krishna or feel separation from the tadiya, from those things connected with Krishna. And a previous connection is something that increases it. We've come now to Vrindavan for a parikrama, and it will create a desire to come again. And as we come again, the next time we bring with us some purva rag, some attachment from before. And therefore we will be excited when we'll be coming to Vrindavan. And when we leave Vrindavan, we'll feel more separation started. And that will increase over the years as we are deepening our relationship with Vrindavan. Because each time and of course, Vrindavan, Krishna. When we are in Vrindavan, it's Krishna's home. Here everything is centering around Krishna. Here Krishna, today we saw the villagers are doing the parikrama of Vrindavan for the Uttana Ekadasi, because this Ekadasi is leading up to the Ras Purnima. So they're already excited, you know, Ras Purnima is coming now. So they're all coming, and that is why it is such a big, big Ekadasi, because it's leading up to the Ras Purnima. So in this way, all these people, so many, all remembering Krishna, all appreciating Krishna. And we also begin to appreciate. Anyway, so Purva Rag, previous connection, previous attachment, is one thing that causes separation. Another thing, another type of separation is experienced in man, in proud anger. When Srimati Radharani, for example, is noticing that Krishna is not faithful. When Krishna is not faithful to her, but also maintaining relationships with others, even secretly, then she has, for example, around the parikrama in around Varsana, on one hill there is that place called Mangar. Gar means house, home, and man is that place where she can be angry, where she can be upset. It's not uncommon. Queens, they always have a place like that, Krodha Bhavan, right? The queen has in the palace somewhere, some quarters where she can go when she's angry. Krodha Bhavan. And then she'll be in Krodha Bhavan. Then everybody knows, okay, oops, the queen went into Krodha Bhavan. Ay, ay, ay. So it starts with Srimati Radharani going into Mangar. But the funny thing is, although she goes there in anger, she's suffering while she's doing so, because she's in separation. She's causing it with her own pride and anger, but she's suffering separation. Of course, Krishna is also suffering separation at that time. And for that, to increase Krishna's eagerness, for that she'll suffer. That is her austerity. So that is the second reason. Purva, man, I mentioned. And then the third thing mentioned, this is Chaitanya Charitamrita that I'm speaking now, in the Madhya Lila, chapter 23. That means where Lord Chaitanya is speaking with Sanatana Goswami. And he is explaining to Sanatana Goswami. He is explaining that then the third cause for separation is Prabhas. Prabhas means a place. When Krishna is in another place, then naturally one will also develop separation. And then the the final one is vichaitya, and vichaitya is where the fear of losing Krishna, the fear of losing Krishna, although he's there, but the fear of losing Krishna creates already separation. It's not really happening, but that fear is there. So that, and then in this case, that came out because when Madhumanga spoke in that way, then that awoke that fear, and that, oh, because Krishna is like that. One can never take Krishna for granted. There's no such thing as, now I've done so much service, now I'm a sannyasi, so now Krishna, now I don't have to worry anymore. You know, I'm a sannyasi, so Krishna will just, basically be at my disposal. Yeah? No, it's not at all like that. It's never is there that moment that one can say, now Krishna surely is my property. One has to conquer Krishna again and again. And this principle of conquering Krishna again and again is the principle of devotional service. That each time again we must make that effort. Each time again we must do something extraordinary. Otherwise Krishna, he may just disappear for some time. He may be restless. That is Krishna's nature. So that is how Krishna disappears from the rasa dance, simply because we have to conquer him by our service. We cannot rest on our laurels. I've done so much service. That's enough. I've done enough service for a lifetime. No, that does not apply. One must again and again always conquer Krishna. So in this way, we are appreciating. In this way, we're appreciating how even in the association of Krishna there is some fear that Krishna may leave. It is said that the queens in Dwarka are feeling this even stronger. That was explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Krishna is more thinking of Vrindavan when he's there. So therefore they are more afraid that Krishna will just leave them. But even Srimati Radharani feels this also, as we see. And her reaction to Madhu Mangal's comment was based on very deep love. And therefore, she became deeply shocked when she thought that he suddenly left. We, of course, we don't know such deep emotions. When the living entity becomes conditioned, and when we become embodied in these material bodies, our original love transforms into lust. And instead of loving Krishna and serving Krishna, we start to try and control and enjoy the material energy. And then we look for love in relation to that, in relation to bodies, in relation to material things. I love this place, I hate that place, I love this phone, I love that, I love... Yes? Yeah? Okay, we'll do that. Yeah, fine. So the driver has just... we've come to a truce with the drivers. And we just quickly looked at, like, we curtail our original plan a little because it involved a little more driving. So, but we're close to Varsana, so we'll just go up to for darshan of Sriji, and then we have here till 10:30. That's an hour and 13 minutes, and then we'll go on to Varsana.
Huh?
Not, it's okay. Yeah. It's nothing. Relatively quick. We got it. When do we have to be out of Varsana? By 12? 30? 12:30. That's the deal? Okay.
Congratulations.
No problem.
Good negotiation.
Battle won. It was going serious over there.
You just have to pay the driver whatever it is next to do.
Yeah. But he's a good driver. Last year we had some drivers from Rajasthan and they didn't know the places. So that was like a disaster, you know. At least this year we have a local and he knows everything. So I'm quite satisfied with actually this driver. Anyway, so we're here in this Prem Sarovar to appreciate how dull we have become and how exalted, how deep the emotions are of the eternal pure devotees, whether they're gopis, cowherd boys, or in parental mood, doesn't matter. The eagerness in these devotees is something extraordinary. And one day we have to really get beyond doing devotional service just out of duty or just because of philosophical understanding. Like, I know it's better if I follow Prabhupada. I know it's actually, I really should. I know these principles are really good because I know, you know, that like, then, you know, you'll make spiritual progress. I know. But, it's so difficult. But, you know, you're young and you want something. And you're old and you still want something. So, what can be said, right? It is some, like one disciple told me, I have no taste for chanting. I said, it doesn't matter. Just chant anyway. But the disciple said, no, I have no taste for chanting. I have no taste. I can't do it anymore because I have no taste. I said, no, but see, look at the benefit you're getting. No, I have no taste. I want taste now. Yeah? I want it right now. Either I get the taste or I'm going to look for taste somewhere else. Well, that's what happened. Anyway, of course. But there is some taste. It said a devotee in the Bhagavatam, it says a devotee is rasa graha. I mean, one who has tasted the nectar of devotional service. Just to do some service, and you don't get paid, you don't get anything for it, and you do the best you can. You really go all out to do something, you know, to give it the best you can. And then there's this bliss, right? This taste, which is something that you have to do it again. After having taken prasadam, who can eat ordinary things? I mean, a pizza that's not offered? I mean, just some olives and some cheese? I mean, but when it's prasadam, it has that spiritual dimension. Therefore, one who has once tasted devotional service cannot ever forget. Even if temporarily we get distracted. But anyway, because we are distracted by the material energy, then what happens is, then our consciousness becomes covered and we become dull, emotionally dull. And we're imitating spiritual sentiments, but it's dull. And it's very shallow sentiments. Therefore, today we love someone, and tomorrow we love someone else, and you know, it's just shallow sentiments, very shallow. We actually did, actually all the time, the only one we loved was ourselves. So in this way, when we approach these pastimes of here in Vrindavan, then we see the depth of original spiritual emotions. And then amazing things start to happen. I mean, where do all these tears come from that you can create a kund? Anyway, maybe they added a little water. Could be. But whatever. Don't think that such miracles cannot happen. Because we get Krishna is 5,000 years ago, and that looks far away. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is interesting because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is only 500 years ago, and that is still within the realm of traceable history. You can still find accounts, you know, like here it turns into like almost, after 5,000 years, it turns into like mystical stories, you know. But when you go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is described how he stood in the back of the Jagannath temple and how he was crying tears, streams of tears, and that there was a nali, a drain for letting water out, and that a stream would just flow there. Then we can, keeping that in mind, you know, in more recent history, then Prem Sarovar becomes more of a reality. We just never experience that kind of crying. A few tears, a few tissues, and it's over. Sniff, sniff, you know. And that's all. Already dried up. Not much tears. Just like mother's milk, right? All dried up. Bottles. But Mother Yasoda, just like, was just so much, so many tears were streaming from her eyes, and so much milk was flowing from her breast. It said when Uddhava came to Vrindavan with the order of Krishna to try and pacify the residents of Vrindavan in their separation, when Uddhava saw Mother Yasoda, then Uddhava thought to himself, she's going to turn into a river. She's going to turn into a river. It's just all this liquid is just coming from her. It's inconceivable. How is it possible? So what looks to us like miracles, right, from our present dull reality, is actually another level of reality, where the supernatural is very possible. And that is the case when we enter into the pastimes of Krishna. So then we'll ask Kavi Chanda Maharaj to say a few words. You want this mic or you prefer the other one? You have to switch it back on. I turned it off. So, here.
I don't have so much scientific information. But Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sva Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namaste Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi, Paschacha Desa Tarane. Srinivasacharya was, his clothes would be soaking wet from tears. And nobody could believe how one body could produce so much water. But these are real, it's mystical people. But so we can hear about these things and feel separation. That's Lord Chaitanya, or like people criticize
intellectuals in India, and Ram sent Sita away, cruelty. But actually that was a blessing to increase the feelings of separation for both of them. They can think of each other much more intensely. We all know that when we lose something, then that's all you can think about, right? Isn't it? If you lose your phone, then you think about it a lot. Someone stole mine recently, and I kept looking on the Find My Phone, but it never showed up. But so that's why Krishna arranges, and the Goswamis, they exhibited separation. They're always looking for Krishna. Where is Krishna? And then, so they were running all over Vrindavan or Braj, like we're going here and there, but where is Krishna? They're actually trying to find Krishna. So Krishna, that when they're separated, then that thinking about getting back together seems like it's going to be so wonderful. In the material world, it's not always so wonderful. You know, the expectation is better. The spiritual world, the expectation is better, but then meeting is even better. But then there's the anxiety again, like when Krishna was in Dwarka and heard about the Vrijvasis suffering so much in his separation. And some were saying, well, you should go there. Then he was thinking, if I go, then they're going to feel more bad when I leave again. So maybe better not to go. Just let them stay as they are, because if he goes back, they're going to start worrying. He's going to leave, and then they won't be happy. But this is, we can't understand this spiritual, how the suffering is actually bliss. But we can gradually get some taste. Like you said, when we, devotees, you know, you get the feeling, you get attached to Vrindavan or attached to the temple or attached to your service. So when we get away from it, we're not so happy. We even get attached to devotees. Like I just read the Narottam, life of Narottam. So right at the end of his life, there were still brahmanas, more or less Mayavadi type, that were criticizing him. And so he apparently was ill, and he was lying, and he said he had some throat disease, so he wasn't able to speak. And his disciple Ganganarayan, he heard some people saying, just see, you know, he did such a nonsense, sinful thing. He's a Sudra, but he's initiating brahmanas. And just look now, he's just sick and he's suffering like that. And what kind of, you know, spiritual person is he? He's crying about his friends dying and his friends leaving. He's crying that he's not in Vrindavan. He just sits around. He's attached. They couldn't understand. Madhavendra Puri, at the end of his life, he was crying out. You know the sloka exactly, but you know, Mathura, 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 where is my Mathura? I've never attained Mathura. And that Ramachandra Puri, he was his disciple, supposedly, and he said, why are you thinking of a place in the material world? You should be thinking of Brahman. Why are you hankering for Mathura? It was from Krishna. He wanted to be with Krishna. And he told that, get out of here. He said, if I see your face when I leave my body, then I'll never achieve Krishna. So he was cursed at Ramachandra. Then he just became a criticizer of devotees. That's all he ever did. Those who could understand the emotions and like they serve, Ishvara Puri just served the Guru no matter what condition he was in. Didn't think, well, look, why is he sick or why is he getting old? The material person would think. So we've experienced this separation thing, and even in English they have that saying, absence makes the heart go fonder. You heard that one? So you see people at the airport or something waiting for their loved ones to come back, and then they meet, but then in a few minutes they're fighting. But when they're separated, maybe they feel more happy, you know, some people. And you can think about when I get it. Interesting example. When I first met one, I hadn't preached to Indian people very much, and one man, I asked him for donations, so he gave me the big Hindu lecture how you shouldn't be attached to money, and money doesn't mean anything, and don't worry. Then the next time I met him, he was just in total anxiety that he had been cheated out of big money, millions of dollars. And he was just trying to find people to help him, lawyers. I said, I thought you said money's not important, you shouldn't worry. He said, no, but when you lose it, then you worry about it. When you have it, you don't have to be attached. You know, you shouldn't be attached. But we should be attached to Krishna, we're attached to devotees, but only for the service of Krishna. Like, even Kunti was praying, let me not be attached to my family. And her family are all devotees, and great devotees of Krishna. But she wanted to be only attached to Krishna. So that's how we gradually, by Krishna's mercy, we can become attached to chanting the holy name or attached to service. So we just do it without thinking, well, I have to do this. Even mundane counseling, they say you should never think, I have to do this, or I have to go to work, I have to go to Mangal Arati. You should think, I want to. Just, even just say that, change your way of thinking about it. You know, I want to chant my rounds, not I have to chant my rounds. Right? Anybody think like that? I have to. But we should, you're just automatically, the spontaneous devotees are just doing it automatically. But they're just looking for service, looking for Krishna, looking for the, you know, something. So we have so many examples. Prabhupada, on his coming to America, wrote those poems, how he's remembering Krishna, and he's wanting to be in Vrindavan again, and all that. But he was always thinking of Vrindavan. He said that many times, I'm not in New York, I'm in Vrindavan. I'm not in Los Angeles, I'm in Vrindavan. Because he was always thinking of it. With Krishna, that's the thing. It's different than mundane things. If we're feeling separation from a material thing, the thing isn't there. We can think about it and, you know, whatever, to feel like, where is it and when will I get this? But with Krishna, when you think about Krishna, then he is there. So in that sense, he never left Vrindavan. Because they're always totally thinking of him. He's just not exactly manifest, but then they think even more intensely. Start to see Krishna everywhere they're looking, and maybe just waiting for Krishna to come back. Even when Krishna was there, the gopis all day, they're just waiting for Krishna to come back from the forest. Just waiting. Always looking, you know, is he coming? And then when he come, of course, then they couldn't run up and embrace him either. But they're always thinking, where is Krishna? When is Krishna coming? And when am I? We should be thinking, when will I surrender? When will I serve? You know, when will I really take it up? Talking about someone doesn't have a taste. Aparada Gucci, Shudaname Ruchi. When the offenses are ceasing, then the taste will increase. So it seemingly would be that when the offenses are increasing, then the taste is decreasing. So when we don't have a taste, intelligent person will think, what am I doing wrong? maybe I made some of, what is my offense, and please forgive me, and I must be, you know, doing something wrong, so I don't have a taste for chanting. Unfortunate person will think, well, it's chanting's no good, it must be something better somewhere else, because I don't have a taste. But we can see that people do have taste. Kini bolu tibo hari namarasa namarasa mate hoy baby bas rasa rasika charana parad kori bomu jibo rasa yanibar. That I will get the taste from being with people who have it, touching their feet, and then it will come. So devotees look for people who are enthusiastic and associate with them. If we associate by serving, then that's the best way to get what they have. So we're very fortunate to have Prabhupada made a society so we can associate with devotees. He made temples. He built up, you know, Vrindavan. So now so many people are coming to Vrindavan. When even Indian people, at the time of Prabhupada, most people hardly knew what is Vrindavan. Didn't care. Delhi people never came. But now people are coming from all over the world. And then all year making plans, when can I go again? Because we've become attached. Even though maybe don't know why, all these places, you know, it's nice, but there's so many lakes in the world. They're really beautiful, you know, much more beautiful as far as material nature, right? With all the trees and mountains all around, and, you know, but somehow this is much nicer. Vrindavan is something that you cannot explain. Krishna is something we can't explain. It's an experience. I think in Delhi at the museum it says the Bhagavad Gita experience. Sometimes people tell us, I can't understand the Bhagavad Gita. But that's not, you can't understand Krishna, that's a fact. Right? We can experience the Bhagavad Gita, we can experience the kirtan. Even ordinary things, if somebody goes to a big concert and afterward, you know, they don't, they have an experience. They felt something. How do you know, that famous time when Prabhupada asked devotees, how do you know Krishna is God? You know that story? So devotees were saying, well, Bhagavad Gita, and they quote something. He said, no. And the Bhagavatam, well, the Acharyas, and so many things they were saying, Prabhupada was saying, no, no, no. Then one devotee, he explained, he was a very new devotee. He'd never spoken out before. But suddenly he just said, I feel it. I feel that Krishna is God. Prabhupada said, that's right. That's how you know, by feeling. How do you know that this chanting works? You know, so if we just give a, you know, a long list of quotes, that's not going to really convince anybody. It's good for us, but other people. But when a devotee expresses their feelings, their own conviction, their own sincerity, that's what moves the hearts of, you know, like when we're preaching. That's how we can touch the heart. And I remember one girl in Japan, she just said, I like this book, I love this book, and I think you will love this book. And nobody could argue with that. You know, I don't believe you love that book. I don't believe you like chanting. Nobody's going to say that. But they, you know, if you say this is the greatest book in the world and this is the oldest, and they'll say, well, everybody says that. You know? But so when we have emotions and we develop spiritual emotions, like Nectar Devotion describes all these spiritual emotions in great detail, you know, that's good. My devotees say you shouldn't have any emotions. You should just be like that. Said, why are you, Narottam is just wasting his time crying about his friends being gone, or crying about this, or that he hasn't done that, and he wants to do that. You should be nothing, no feeling. But devotees, bhakti is highly emotional thing. Mon, you know, that's a very emotional state. But all the feelings of the gopis are all emotions of Goswamis and the writings of Bhaktivinoda and Narottam especially, which we have so much access to. They're very emotional, but full of hankering and lamenting and lamentation. But that they're showing us what to hanker for, what to lament about, so that we can purify our emotions. Not that we don't have emotions, but we purify them. So we want Krishna, you know, we want service to Krishna. That's how we get prema. A lot of devotees, you say, what do you want? They say, I want prema. That's kind of jumping, because where does prema come from? Who knows? What's the necessary before prema? Huh? No. Bhava's dainya. You know a dainya? That means, what does it mean? Dainya? Abject humility. Like humility that's just material people would think this is low self-esteem or something.
What's abject?
We don't just know. Really complete. Really just intense. But that means service. Service is humility. A servant has to be humble. Right? So, Trinadapi Sunichina Tadarapi Sishnana Amanina Amanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. That's the ticket for prema. But that means service. Humble service. Complete humility. Then the prema comes. So not that we just get prema, like, right away, but it comes from the process, then it does come, but not that we're thinking, gimme, 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 but the devotee is crying, give me service. So, we all are supposed to be servants, and servants of the holy name. How can you serve the holy name? Sounds difficult, right? How do you serve the holy name? Yeah, that makes sense. By spreading it, because that's what Krishna wants, that's what Lord Chaitanya likes, by giving it to others. It's one way. There must be many other ways to make it really deep. But okay, is that enough? Hare Krishna. Trinadapi Sunichena. That's the key for everything, you know. We have conflicts. If we really had this Trinadapi Sunichena, Todarapi Sishana, Manina, Manadena, then we wouldn't have any problems. And then all the things that we're just so caught up in, they would be finished. So that's why Lord Chaitanya said, keep that one, you know, around your neck. And always remember, offering all respect to others and not expecting anything in return. Just giving. That's a humble, humble servant. Thank you. Hi. Hare Krishna. Gauranga. 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 Right. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama. All right.
Thank you, Maharaj. Because today we can't take all the time that we want. Therefore, I suggest you just, when you're hungry, you just eat, right? You can sit around, eat. We'll continue a little more katha. Yojudeva will say a few words, then we'll have a little kirtan, right? And those, some eat, some will dance, and all that goes well together. There's no difficulty at all. So we will not have like an official breakfast break today. We'll just Eat as you're hungry.
Yeah. And when you're carrying your lunch bag.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And of course, though. And if you're fasting, then
Maharaj is someone who likes to fast.
It is a goddess.
He loves to fast. So when there's an excuse, Maharaj will take advantage of it for fasting.
Yeah.
See, a goddess.
It's the first day of the season. It's also Gorkha Sharda.
It's Gorkha. It is, yeah. Yeah. Cool. So,
he was a personification of different Lumber.
Hare Krishna.
Turn it on.
Hare Krishna.
Speak in it. It's a very pointed
mic. Srila Prabhupada said that a hearing from the right source, that is the essence of spiritual life. We have our ears and we hear so many things every day, every hour, every minute, every second. Our ears are receptacles for sound vibration. So if we hear spiritual sound vibration, then our consciousness will improve. And if we hear material sound vibration, then our consciousness will become cloudy and unclear. So if we're constantly putting ourselves in a transcendental environment, then we will imbibe that environment. We will be able to bring that environment into our heart. And that is thereby, again, associating with those who have that spiritual environment in their own heart. If we hear from them, serve them, associate with them, take some dust from their feet, do something, somehow or other be there. So hearing, as Maharaj was saying, is just like we can ask ourselves now this question that we've been hearing for some time. But how many times did the mind flicker? How many times were we thinking of something else while we were hearing? Like that, we always talk about phones. I remember one time I was standing in line with some other devotees, and it was a congregational member's daughter's birthday, 6 years old. And there were four friends. They were not devotees. They were standing. They were all about 19, 20 years old. They're all friends, two by two, in the line. Not one of them was talking to each other. Everyone was on their phone. This is the way sometimes we have a tendency to communicate more than we should. No. There is nothing wrong with technology, but the same Prabhupada gives the example like a razor blade. You can either shave yourself or you can cut your throat. One time I had a dream of Srila Prabhupada because I was a bit concerned that I felt that devotees, senior devotees, this was my own foolishness. It's a story of my own foolishness. I was thinking they're not spending enough time with the devotees. You know, going up to their rooms and communicating with devotees through email and things like that. So I thought maybe they should come down, come to the kirtan, come to give a class, speak with devotees, come and take prasad with devotees. So, in this dream, I was walking along a hallway, and this devotee said to me, Srila Prabhupada is in that room. So, as soon as I heard that, I just hit the floor, and I started crawling along the corridor, And from the room, there's an incredible glow, great brightness. So I was still crawling along on the floor with my on my hands and knees. And I walked and I looked into the room, and Srila Prabhupada was on the far corner of the room at a desk, and he was on a laptop. Prabhupada never, as I understand, never used a laptop.
It didn't exist yet, no.
But he had his back turned to me, and he just wouldn't even look at me. And I realized then that, you know, everything can be used in Krishna's service. But especially this power of hearing, this is the most potent thing to use in Krishna's service, to hear. Not like there was one thing someone posted, and I was thinking of how it can be used in Krishna's service. It's a very, just a small story of a husband and a wife. And the wife walks up to the husband and says, "You haven't listened to a single word I've said, have you?" And the husband says, "That's a very strange way to start a conversation." Because he hasn't heard anything. So the same thing, sometimes we say like that, some people, I used to give a example of the way we chant Hare Krishna. You hear everyone chants Hare Krishna, right? So we're actually meant to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So some people ask, how long does it take you to chant your rounds? The answer is, as long as it takes to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, 108 times, 16 times. That's as long as it takes. Not our clock. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama. In the same way, we have to chant and hear every single syllable very, very nicely. That is the service to the holy name. That's also another way to serve the holy name. To hear the holy name. To chant very, very distinctly. Not hear kitty, 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 as we're calling for like a cat. Or snish, snish, ram, ram. You have heard Mahamrabhu tell this story? That the man was on his deathbed and there were two men standing next to him. And he was thinking, who are they? He was a devotee. He was thinking, who are they? They don't look like Vishnu Dudas. Neither they look like Yama Dudas. Who are they? He says, "Don't you?" Then the man spoke and they said, "Don't you recognize us? You've been chanting our names all your life. This is Shnish and this is Ram. All your life you've been Shnish, Shnish, Ram, Ram, so we're here." So if we chant Hare Krishna, we will meet Krishna. So like that, this is always, we have every day an opportunity to improve our chanting, and this is a very nice thing to do. Devamrita Maharaj once said to me, "Make attentive chanting your number one priority in life." So if we do that, we will see miracles happen. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
So then we are ready to go to the next part of our excursion today. Now, one thing is this. We're going up to the Shriji temple, and that means we're going up the hill, and obviously we'll all go at a different pace. You know, some will move a little fast, some will move a little slow. You're all responsible yourself to be back at the bus. So keep the bus in mind, and the bus only. And nothing but the bus. In other words, just don't get lost. Don't do it. It's not needed, because all you have to do is at 12 o'clock, you have to go down. Right? It's like at 12 o'clock, we go down, so no matter what, you know, even if you are in ecstasy, even if you're just buying some mahaprasadam, or even if some lady is putting a stamp on your hand, or whatever it may be, right? Just think about Krishna's flute. And just think, when Krishna played his flute, that the gopis would drop everything and just run towards the flute. The flute is in the bus. It's in the bus, right? That's where it is. And, right? So at 12 o'clock, we're going straight down to the bus, and nothing but the bus. Yes.